It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. And I'm joined now by Patrick Ruby, who has written a piece in today's Washington Times called Out of Hobby Class, Drones Lifting Off for Personal and Commercial Use. Now, recently, we've heard stories about U.S. drones being used by law enforcement in the U.S. In fact, about 2 months ago, you may recall, a U.S. military drone was used to find stolen cows in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Now we learn you can have one. Is that right, Patrick?
That's absolutely right. Actually, there's two things going here. One, you've been able to have one in the past. You could have one already. And these are sort of hobbyist drones. Now, there are rules for how you can use them. I mean, a lot of them are sort of do-it-yourself projects. But the second part of this is that the FAA has now been compelled by Congress to liberalize the rules for drone use in the U.S. in general, which means that we're very likely going to see a lot more commercial use of drones than we've seen in the past.
All right, now, when we think of drones, we think of the Predator, we think of the type used for military, but drones actually come in all different sizes, right?
That's correct. You know, the drones I'm talking about here are not necessarily, like you said, these large Predator drones that perhaps carry Hellfire missiles and are, you know, raining death on, Pakistani militants.
Right.
We're talking about, you know, everything from things that look like, you know, remote-controlled airplanes, small ones, to things that you can put in a backpack and launch by hand, to these little cool things that are called quadcopters, which are like sort of four-rotor helicopter-type drones. They look like something out of science fiction.
Huh.
And these are things that you can you can go online or go to some hobbyist shops, and you can get them for a couple hundred dollars. You can control some of them with your iPhone. You can, if you get really into it, you can go online and find ways to sort of rig your own navigation systems and put your own cameras on there. It's really quite interesting.
Yeah. You tell a great story about a young guy, where, out in California, right?
Yeah. There's a great guy in my piece. His name is Jordi Munoz. And, he grew up in Mexico. In about 2007, he marries an American citizen. He moves up to the San Diego area. He was living in Tijuana, so not a very far move. Very mechanically engineering inclined kid. He was a teenager at the time. He had tried to get into Mexico's version of MIT, but didn't get in. So he's up in the U.S. He's waiting for his green card, so he's stuck in his apartment, can't get a job, can't get to school, can't even get a driver's license. He has a radio-controlled toy helicopter his mom gave him until time. He goes online, and he figures out, basically, it was a small community of drone enthusiasts, how to rig a Nintendo Wii controller, a gyroscope he buys off eBay, and his remote-controlled helicopter into his own drone. and he's flying it around. He sent me pictures of him that were taken from the drone.
I'll be darned. And now it's turned into a business for him, right?
That's right. He's gone from building this, this drone for a couple hundred bucks to a business, actually. It's called 3D Robotics, where they've got like 18 or 19 employees, and they sell everything from small custom-made hobbyist drones to just like, navigation and components for these drones. They're doing like 300 grand a month in sales. They've got customers not just in the U.S., but in Germany and China.
Wow.
I mean, it's really quite amazing, and this company has only been around for 2.5 years.
That's fantastic. It's a great
entrepreneurial story.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, now, some of the uses possible for these, these little drones, what would that be?
You know, almost anything you can think of and then some. And commercially, I mean, there are, if you're a farmer, say you're a small farmer, I've heard of vineyard farmers up in California using drones to sort of fly over, their vineyards and check out, where do we need more water, where do we need more fertilizer.
Right.
You can actually use drones for crop dusting, which is a pretty, dirty and not so nice job as currently is.
Huh.
You could use drones. I've heard people speculate you have paparazzi drones. You can have these little drones following around Lindsay Lohan or Kim Kardashian taking pictures.
Yeah. And it also occurs to me that in my neck of the woods growing up, I remember seeing helicopters used for power line patrols and gas line inspections.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the sort of catchphrases for this is any job that is dull dirty or dangerous is perfect for drones.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, any kind of inspecting of power lines, inspecting of gas lines especially, I had one person speculate you could see drones helping in window washing on really tall buildings. I mean, it's really crazy the possibility. If you start thinking about, basically, if you look up in the sky and think about what might be useful to have a drone up there, chances are you could see an application.
Yeah. All right, what about privacy issues? What about safety issues? How do they figure into this?
Well, those are two really good questions. You know, actually, late last year, the ACLU put out a pretty thoughtful report, basically saying, you know, we need to kind of wake up. We need to realize, you know, this drone era is coming. There's definitely issues for privacy, especially with, we're going to probably see a lot of expanded law enforcement use with these drones, especially these smaller drones.
Yeah.
And you can see, you know, I'm not saying that's all bad. It could be fantastic for search and rescue. It could be very good for traffic accidents, for instance, if a drone can kind of, a small drone can go up and get a picture of everything that happened and sort of piece together how this accident actually happened. That could be really, it could be really useful for the police, say that you've got a missing person, you know, in Rock Creek Park here in D.C., or you've got a toddler that wanders away. I mean, you know, it's a force multiplier, so to speak, instead of just people on the ground looking for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, SWAT teams could use drones to, you know, monitor a building when there's a hostage situation. So there's a lot of good uses for police, but there are definitely concerns with, you know, persistent monitoring. If
yeah.
you've got a drone that's up there a long time, like some of these military drones are over in the Middle East, it's taking images not just of people that, you know, you have probable cause for, but you might be taking images of just people, everyday citizens going about their business. So
yeah.
who handles those images? How are those processed? You know, what are your rights in terms of that?
Yeah.
There's some pretty difficult questions that right now the technology is ahead of the law, and we're going to have to try and figure some things out with that.
Yeah. And now it occurs to me that the real small ones wouldn't really be a safety problem for the most part if they fell out of the sky, but something large certainly would.
Definitely. You know, it's interesting. I asked about that, and, you know, you're right. With the very small drones, I mean, some of those only weigh, you know, a pound or two, maybe 3 or 4 pounds. They need to be light in order to be able to have some range in terms of flying. And the hobbyist I talked to said the only real danger is sometimes you nick up. Everyone has nicked hands. From, you know, their hands getting on the blades of these helicopters and stuff.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, no one lost any fingers or anything, just nicks.
Yeah, okay,
so
good.
Not so bad. But you're right, in terms of the larger drones, there definitely is an issue. You know, much like your cell phone can drop its connection or your internet can drop its connection, there's an issue with what they call lost links. And we've seen this, you know, there was a Navy drone that actually, a couple years ago, it had a lost link with its sort of ground control, and it was programmed to supposedly immediately turn around, fly back to base, and land, but it did not. It actually entered the airspace here outside Washington, and for a brief period of time, they had to consider actually shooting it down. But it turned out, you know, they got the link reestablished, and they brought it back to base. And, you know, this was like a 3,000-pound drone, so, you know, relatively large, and if it falls on somebody or crashes, definitely could cause damage. There was also a SWAT team down in Houston recently that was experimenting with a drone, a prototype drone, and the drone actually crashed into their armored vehicle. Unfortunately, the vehicle was armored. It only did about $90 of damage. However, it produced a ton of embarrassing headlines. It wasn't really good PR for a police department that's trying to sort of roll out a drone program.
Yeah. All right, well, it sounds like it won't be long. I'll be seeing you down at the Drones R Us, huh?
You know what? After doing this story, I'm very intrigued. There's actually a lot of journalism applications for drones. You think about covering fires.
Think about
covering tornadoes.
Yeah.
There's actually a drone journalism lab at the University of Nebraska that just started at the end of last year, and they're looking into these kinds of applications. Like I said, once the laws are liberalized, I do think you'll see this, and it won't just be paparazzi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might get one myself.
All right, I'll be looking up.
Hey, one thing about that, Andy, I definitely want to get a drone, and for nothing else, I want to buzz the football practice with some paranoid football coach just to see their reaction. Those guys will absolutely lose their minds.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, thanks a lot.
Take care.
See ya. Patrick Ruby, do-it-yourself drones. Check it out in today's Washington Times.